The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey, what's the easiest way to find out what channel the game's on? Sports on What? Subscribe to the Sports on What app and quickly find the channel for every provider, satellite, cable, or streaming. Sports on What knows the channel the game is on, and you can too. Download today.
99.9 KISW. We return to the men's room with Miles and Thrill.
Do not forget to sign on to Odyssey.com or the Odyssey app. You listen for 1 hour. Your chance at 5K a day. Okay, as far as our question and injuries, a few from a recently published article on BuzzFeed.
BuzzFeed.
Almost said ButtFeed.
Yeah.
What's new on ButtFeed?
What do you feed one's butt?
Depends on who it is.
Okay. That's a good point.
All right. According to ButtFeed, a woman was singing Part of the World from the Little Mermaid soundtrack at karaoke. She got into it and somehow tore her ACL.
Oh! From the Little Mermaid. Somehow that's even worse.
Guy was waxing his floor and tried to do the Tom Cruise slide from Risky Business. He didn't stop and busted his lip on a door frame.
Well, I mean, he did it.
Someone tried ice skating for the first time, then tried a jump and broke their tailbone.
Ooh.
Here's another. A woman dislocated her knee trying to kick a balloon at a birthday party. Guys, never stand or try to on a beach ball. I fell into a coffee table. Another. A woman was washing her face in the shower. Accidentally shoved her pinky finger up her nose and got a horrible nosebleed.
How do you do that? I guess it's like biting the inside of your own cheek or biting your tongue.
Mm-hmm. Someone attempted to walk downstairs while they had their roller skates on and needed 10 stitches in the knee. Another, riding my bike, got distracted when I saw a cute puppy, then crashed into a mailbox. Here's another I can vouch for to be true. Sliced my finger open on a disco ball. We used to have a disco ball in our studio, and that thing is just all mirrored glass and small little pieces.
Correct.
So if one of those little pieces is missing, it kind of creates an open area where it's just...
You cut your finger on that thing?
It's razor blades. No, I just understand how sharp it is.
Ah, okay.
You know, based on never really physically handling a disco ball before, I didn't know the danger involved. And finally, I injured my knee playing foosball. Our question, what was your first or most memorable injury? 206-803-ROCK.
They played it wrong, apparently. Hello, Brock. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, bitches.
Hola.
So I've told you a bunch of memories as far as they were later in life, like the pool stick over the head and hand through the table saw. So those are pretty memorable. But this is not necessarily the injury, but after the injury that I'm calling about. I was in high school, freshman, playing football in the JV. I was the kicker because I played soccer and also receiver and cornerback. So I was playing like the entire game most of the time. And after one game, I didn't realize during the game I injured my knee. I didn't even notice it. Woke up the next morning and my knee looked like a watermelon. And it was like, oh my gosh, what's up with that? So it turns out, you go to the doctor, and I had torn some cartilage in my knee. So I'm going to have an arthroscopic surgery, They take me in to do the surgery, and as they're doing the surgery, they realize my knee is way worse than they thought, so they had to cut me open. And it went from, like, overnight kind of thing to I'm in the hospital until they tell me when I can lift my leg off the bed, then I'm able to go home. Well, that took, like, 4 or 5 days for that to happen. One of the things while I'm in there, I never peed while sitting, and I had an issue with trying to pee, so I couldn't pee when I was in the room. They finally had to do one of those where they stick the tube in you.
Catheter,
yeah, that was not pleasant. I finally, like, forced myself to pee in that. But so while I'm in there, I hated my stepdad. He was not a friendly guy. But one day I'm asleep. I wake up. The nurse says, oh, your stepdad came in to visit you, and he left you something. And they pointed over at the side table, and it was my first Playboy that somebody had ever given me.
Also, he found that in your room, and he brought it in for you.
But wait a minute. Wait. So, but did you still have the catheter in you?
No. That was over. Yeah. No, this was, I woke up later to find out that he was actually a cool guy and, like, knew that a 14-year-old kid in a room for 5 days, since we don't have cell phones back then, you know, might want a Playboy that he bought down at the thing. So, yeah.
He doesn't might want one. You definitely want one. Mm-hmm. I thought he did it when you saw the catheter in you. I'm like, that's a cruel joke,
if
man.
If I saw a Playboy right now, I would pick that thing immediately up.
Yes.
I mean it's quick as I would have hit a bowl of candy at the front desk.
It's like finding a $20 bill on the floor. You're going to grab it. Somebody years ago.
What year is this? Who is this?
At the station, I don't know who got the subscription to Penthouse, right?
I think they just sent it to media.
Once a month, that thing showed up, and it always ended up in our office. I mean, and this is pre-COVID, so there's 120 people on the floor. It ended up in our office, and I think I passed it around. Like, yeah, if you're going to show me boobs, I'm going to look. It's one of those things, man.
What was your first or most memorable injury? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Adam. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, bichola.
Hola.
So I got to take you guys back in time, back to 1980.
Ooh, 1980. All right.
First day, first grade. My brother was 4 years older than me, so he was in sixth grade. We went to the same school. Out on the playground playing, you remember the metal round monkey rings?
Yep.
So instead of going across, we would hold on to two of them and swing back and forth. And I had a couple buddies pushing me, going back and forth, and right across from the monkey bars was a big steel-framed, like, rocket ship.
All right.
And they pushed me so hard, I flew off the monkey rings, and my left arm went in between two of the rungs, and I got two compound fractures and shattered my wrist.
Oh, man. How old were you?
First day of first grade, so
okay.
7 maybe.
7 years old. How loud do you think you screamed?
It was horrendous.
Yeah. you see that dynamic in parks has changed a lot.
Well, it's all plastic.
A lot of the standard stuff, which was normal in the day, has been taken away for probably just insurance or whatever the deal is, or just general safety.
Or love of children. I mean, everything, his point, everything was made of steel or metal, right? Period. That's how it was. So even if you got on the slide, if you went up to your school in the summer, right, there's nobody there, you're like, cool, we'll take advantage of this. You sit on the slide in shorts and realize that thing is 8,000 degrees because the sun's been beating on it. I remember falling up, you call it the jungle gym. It's kind of that geodesic dome-looking thing that you kind of climb up.
Yeah.
And I remember falling through that, and it was during the summer. I just fell through because I'm a kid and I'm stupid, but I went through and hit my face on like 3 of the bars before I hit the ground. And it's not that it caused any damage, but it hurt like a mofo. And then
I was a C student.
When I did well. But then, you know, take your kids to Maple Leaf or something like that. It's all plastic. Now, you can still hurt yourself. Yeah. Like, hurting yourself at the playground is the easiest thing to do.
And even, like, the nets are smaller.
We didn't even
like, we had, like, it seemed like the tallest slide also had a fireman's pole on it.
Yes. Which
in retrospect, I mean, they don't even let firemen have fireman poles anymore.
Terrible idea. No, but you'd have to jump through, like, you know, 2 feet, 3 feet to get to that pole, and then you'd slide.
And you would. It was like the dare you did with your buddies.
Absolutely.
And the way kids played, and I'm sure it's probably the same thing now, essentially, you would do something like that, where you're going to jump this distance, grab this thing, and try to stick the landing, as it were. and everyone did it up until someone got injured. Like, that's when it was time to go home.
You go to an old school fire station that still has a pole. At the bottom of that pole, there are like four or five old mattresses.
Oh, yeah.
That they've got, you know, laying around the bottom so nobody gets hurt.
Because if you put a group of dudes in a place that has a pole, they're going to slide down.
The one that is the most disappointing to me is just the municipal pool situation. So growing up, they always had that little blue little water slide that kind of curves around a little bit.
Yeah, yeah,
it has the water running down it.
I think that was the only plastic slide you could find.
But the muni pool that we had also had about a 10-12 footer that was a silver, just straight shoot slide. So, you know, you kind of went up there and got it wet with your bathing suit and then slid down it, and enough kids were in line that it pretty much stayed wet all the time. Then there was the regular diving board, which might have been 6 feet, 4 feet high. But then there was the one where you could climb up all the way to the top, and there was a platform up there, probably not as high as what you jumped off.
No, it wasn't that high, but
still a higher jump. And those
were we had two of them.
Those are all gone now, too.
Yeah, probably another good idea. You got people smack feet.
Their head, try to do backflips off of it.
At the Knights of Columbus where I swam, you had two of the bouncy ones, and there was the high dive. But the only time anybody really got hurt on those was sometimes after Sunday softball, the drunk adults would go in there and slip off the slides or whatever.
What was your first or most memorable injury? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Terrell. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, bitches.
Hola.
All right, so this one's a rough one. Old school, back in the day in Vallejo, California. Me and my sister. Okay, so my mom worked at Trevor. Nope. What's that old school store that's closed nowadays?
Kmart.
Montgomery Ward.
Montgomery Ward. Oh, yeah.
Wow. Yeah, that's a blast from the past.
Sorry, guys. I drank 100 milligrams while I was waiting.
Oh, solid work. Yeah. There's a blast into the future.
Okay, so I used to think I would get in trouble. I didn't think I would get in trouble. My mom was just punishing me so I can watch my sister.
Okay.
So we're outside one day, it's the summer, and my little sister wants to race. I'm like, all right, you know, cool. So we're racing up the hill. I beat her. I say 6 years. My sister say we're 5 years, 7 months apart, whatever. So now she wants to race downhill because she thinks running downhill will make her faster. So I'm like, all right, you know, cool, whatever, let's run. And she starts to beat me. And I'm like, you know what? I'm tired of you. I'm tired of letting you beat me. So I'm going to beat you this time. The girl starts veering towards the sidewalk, and I'm like, oh, crap. If my sister falls, my mom's going to kill me. So my sister trips over the sidewalk, and I dive under her, and my whole right nipple scrapes off.
Oh, man. You scraped your nipple off of your body.
Off. like from my collarbone to my rib section is all gone.
Does the nipple know to grow back?
Like, do you have a nipple now?
It actually grew back.
Okay. I didn't know if it, like, your body knew, like, oh, your nipple's supposed to be here.
Or if it's like, hey, one and done, bro.
Because, I mean, you lose your finger, the body doesn't go, I'm going to grow a finger back, so.
Yeah, why is the body selective about what, like, look, I can live with one nipple. I would prefer if you'd grow my finger back. Or if I lose an adult tooth, can you slip that back in?
When I got old enough, I Googled it. I was like, is your nipple supposed to grow back? And Google says no, but I guess I'm different.
How long did it take for your nipple to grow? From the time of the act, was it years? Was it back in a week? What?
It took about a year.
Well, you probably didn't get in as much trouble because you were the one who got hurt and not your sister.
Ooh, so I begged her. Because she scraped up her elbow and her knee. So it was just like a regular injury. But when I went back in the house and my mom asked me what happened to me, I told her I did something else because I didn't want to get in trouble.
So you didn't end up going to the hospital or anything?
Oh, hell no. I'm getting in trouble.
Okay.
Now, thinking back, would you have gotten in less trouble if you told her the truth and said, look, I was trying to protect my sister and basically I sacrificed a nipple?
Oh, I'd have gotten so much trouble.
Okay. All right.
What is it that you would have gotten in trouble? Because to me, like, look, you might make a dumb decision, right? And obviously, if you're a little kid running down a hill, yes, you will move faster. And then you realize why that's not awesome. But if my kid said, but look, man, I dove under her to save her and I suffered this injury, I'd be like, all right, well, good on you.
Yeah.
Like, you'd be in less trouble.
What is that dumbass stuff? God. Is it the cheese rolling thing they do? Is it like in Scotland or Ireland?
Yeah, they chase the big
wheel of cheese down the hill.
I think it's in the original Gloucester, isn't it?
Okay.
It might be, yeah. They do it every year.
If you've ever seen a video of this, in America, apparently, some woman wins every year.
She's won like three in a row.
Yeah, she's very good at this.
And durable.
But when you watch this happen, you cannot believe that they don't have like 10 ambulances at the bottom of this hill.
Yeah.
Based on people just barreling down. They all have their own technique. Some are doing shoulder rolls. Some are just kind of running and jumping and all this stuff. But I mean, you wouldn't do this on a bet. You would almost rather run with the bulls. Then run down this hill after a wheel of cheese. I mean,
yeah, it looks horrible.
It looks like you could just take your knee out.
You might be safer with the running of the bulls because there's more people and you know to get out of the way. I mean, the bull might be behind you, but yeah. Odds are the bull's not going to mess you up with the running of the bulls. Still not something I want to do. But with the cheese thing, I feel like odds are you are going to hurt yourself.
Yeah.
Which one would you pick? They say, look, mate, you're doing one.
I know people that have run with the bulls. I don't know anybody that's crazy enough to do that cheese freestyle.
Really? So you're picking the bulls?
Yeah, 100%.
Think about it. I would rather run the 1,500-pound angry animal that has horns than chase a block of cheese down a steep hill.
Also, you can say that you ran with the bulls instead of I chased a block of cheese down a hill. People go, I don't know what the hell you're talking about.
Right.
At least they know.
Yeah, and the bulls. You could see, it's still super dangerous, but the idea is you're supposed to jump out of that or whatever.
Right.
Like running down that hill, it's just.
You're supposed to keep chasing.
Just gravity doesn't really allow you to do that.
No.
And what do you win? Do you win that bull?
You win that cheese.
You do win that cheese.
Just buy the cheese.
Yeah, right. Sometimes it's worth
spending. It's one of those traditions from so long ago. People couldn't afford a whole wheel of cheese. I'm with you. You can afford a wheel of cheese now.
Why do you think that tradition started? Do you think it was something where they said, all right, the peasants want cheese. Royalty's not going to give it to them. But if the peasants want it, then you go chase it.
I have no idea, but I like your thinking on it.
I just feel
chase
like.
Chase it, peasants.
Because back in the day, man, if you had a block of cheese and someone rolled it down the mountain, you'd be pissed. Like, dude, that's almost like currency.
It's still in the casing.
Right, but that's what I'm saying. It's got to be like royalty was like, you know what? If you want it that bad, we're going to roll down this hill and let's see him go chase it down the hill.
What was your first or most memorable injury? 206-803-ROCK.
That's Cooper's Hill cheese rolling.
And do they say what the origin is? I just can't think of why that many people would want to do that unless it's based on the fact that they really needed it or you wanted to avoid starvation or something like that.
Something, I don't know, they found a cheese with a note to the Gloucester Town Crier. Apparently it was an old tradition, they brought it back, I don't know. It just seems like idiots being idiots need some cheese.
Just something to do. I mean, I like cheese, I'm just saying. Hello, Jeff. Welcome to the men's room.
Well, hello, hola, bitches.
Hola.
Okay, my funniest experience was I went into the Army in 1986 as a crane operator. And then they stationed me in Germany. And there was one crane and three operators. So they decided to say, you're going to be a truck driver from now on. And I got to drive flatbed and haul heavy equipment around. And one day, I got a flat tire and we had to change it. And me and my squad leader we had a grader on the trailer, a flatbed trailer. And we're checking the chains and this one chain was a little loose and I went up there with a breaker bar and just tried to tighten it up, and he let go, and my finger went bang into the back of the grater. Well, I went to a German hospital, and they put some pins in it and blah, blah, blah. Then I went to the Army doctors, and they said, okay, we'll leave him in for a couple of weeks, and we'll pull the pins out, and my finger was effed up. I didn't swear there. But anyway, so I get ready to get out of the Army. It's right before the Gulf War. I was in the Army hospital before the Gulf War. I had six surgeries on this finger. They took a piece of bone out of my hip and everything, and after six surgeries, they said, do you want to try again? Do you want to leave it like it is or cut it off? I said, cut it off.
Okay, Ronnie Lott.
That's a great one. But so now I only have the second knuckle. But I can drive down the road and look at people, and I can stick my finger up my nose, and people think it's way up there.
So you're good for parties.
Yes.
Just pondering.
And, or if I stand in line at Safeway and there's a kid in the cart in front of me, I just stick my nub up my nose, and it's hilarious.
I'm glad you can entertain the kids, too. That's.
I mean, kids are the easiest audience to get. How do they determine where they're going to take bone from to repair the bone? Like, do you always go hip first, or is it like,
I don't know,
based on the bone that needs repairing, you go to a different part of the body? Right? Like, yeah.
It's got to be the biggest bone and has the most excess so you can use it and it doesn't affect the rest of your. Or maybe it takes better.
I don't know. I mean, like, your femur's the biggest bone, right? I don't know, because I've heard hip, I've heard all these different parts. It's like, yeah, we can use a bone from here and stick it here and make you better.
What was your first or most memorable injury? 206-803-ROCK.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Tri-Tip Roast, Untrimmed Twin Pack, just $4.99 per pound. Signature Farms Boneless Skinless Chicken Breasts, Thighs or Wings. Buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Progresso Soup, 18 to 19 ounce selected varieties. Buy two, get four free when you buy six. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
99.9 KISW. The Men's Room returns with Miles and Thrill.
Okay, Sid and Spin coming up at 4:30 today. The 10 greatest yacht rock songs of all times.
Let's go.
We hit the water. Sail the seven seas. Sitting spin on the way at 4:30 right after emails on our question, what was your first or most memorable injury? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Brian. Welcome to the men's room.
Guten Tag, bitches.
Hola.
How the heck are you guys doing today?
We're doing great, man. Thank you, man.
Well, I had quite a few stories, but this got picked out. I was probably 7 years old, living in Lakewood, and I found an arrow, one of the metal-tipped ones, not the arrowhead, but just had the metal tip on it. Run around playing with my friends, and I climbed up on this big wooden gate, and one of the kids walked by, and he shook it, and I said, yeah, I bet you can't shake it and make me fall off. And boy, he started wailing on it. Next thing, I lost my balance and fell off. And I let go of the arrow. And being in Washington, you know, wet, soft ground, the butt end of the arrow stuck into the ground. And I fell on top of it.
Ah.
The arrow went somehow between my eyeball and my socket.
No!
And broke off. I go running home, open the front door. My mom's there. I don't know how she didn't have a heart attack with the blood running down my face and a broken arrow sticking out of my eye socket.
Yeah, that would be a weird one.
Is it better that you did it yourself, so to speak, versus your friend fired an arrow and hit you in the eye socket?
Yeah, I suppose. You know, it's...
Did you ever have any problems with your vision, or was everything okay?
Everything was okay. Like I said, it missed my eyeball. Right between the eyeball and the...
Yeah, but it's still going towards your brain.
Yeah, that's terrifying.
Were you a C student?
Well, that could explain a couple of things.
Yeah, I was going to say. You look back and you go, maybe that had something to do with
it. At least your mother stayed calm, man, years ago. And I just had an allergic reaction to something. I was like 5 years old. And my perspective was just that my eyes were itching a lot. And it got to the point that I stopped playing with my friends. And I went home to complain to my mother that my eyes were itching. And I always remember she's in the living room, and I just got, you know, the straight-up scream. She did not stay calm at all. The way she explained it, like, I wasn't bleeding out of my eyes. She just said my eyes had swollen so big, it looked like they were popping out of my head.
Like a thyroid.
Yeah, like a thyroid or a frog or whatever. And I remember she freaked out, which made me nervous. Then I started crying because I'm like, oh, my God, what's wrong? They never let me look in the mirror, so I don't know how ridiculous it looked, but as far as, you know, try to be calm.
Do you know what caused the reaction?
I'm not sure, man, but I think because we weren't in the woods at this time, but it was kind of a field. And the only thing I could think that I saw that seems like I may have done this is something I've been around a million times since then, but it's, what do they say? It looks like a blade of grass. They grow in little clumps together, but they get like 3-4 feet tall, and they have those fuzzy caterpillar-looking fronds on top.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm talking about?
Talking about a pussy willow?
Maybe, but it wasn't. Pussy willow's a tree, right?
No. Oh, it's like that long hot dog-looking thing on it.
That's kind of fuzzy?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. I mean, that's the only thing I can remember that was there, but we lived in Rochester at the time. They were every freaking where, and that's the only time I had a reaction. Maybe there was something else out there, some other weed, but it was nothing I saw or can remember, but... She freaked out bad on that. And then the first injury I had, it looked worse than it was. It's roughly about the same age, lived in the same house. We're playing hide-and-go-seek. And I'm running from he found me, and I'm trying to run back to home base or however that thing plays out. But I'm kind of looking behind me, and when I turned around to keep running, I ran into his parents, the back of his parents' station wagon, but they had a bike rack. They had a little hook still come out. And it cut me under my eye, right? But I immediately grabbed my eye. I'm crying as kids do. And there's blood coming through my hand. So when I went into the house at that time, it's the exact same reaction. She freaks out. My father, luckily, he was there. He's kind of calm because he always is. And when they kind of wiped the blood away, he's like, man, it's just a cut. Like, I didn't have to go to the hospital for it. But she was not good at keeping it together in times that it would have been really nice for her to keep it together.
Grandfather, I've told this
story.
It's
not a mom's strong suit.
It's, yeah. Obviously, my wife does pretty well with that. She, at least up front, right? She will... She'll be very calm for the kids, and then she'll call me over, and then I will stay calm, and then she will go elsewhere and either call 911 if we need that, or cry if she needs that, or throw up. But at least initially, for the kids' sake, she stays calm until she's out of eyesight.
My grandfather, he was swinging me around, and both my shoulders popped out of socket. So he was holding me by the hands and spinning. And I was like, pop, pop, and I'm like... And I could barely even scream.
So you do remember this?
And he's still spinning me around. And I think he could see the look on my face, like, you know, and I think he felt it. Because it was like one after the other.
You got a little farther away?
So end up going to the ER. And I'm probably like in third, fourth grade, whatever the deal is. They put him back in. I don't remember it really being that painful.
Them popping it back in?
Once they were in, it just felt like nothing happened. You know, like it felt like, because I was like 3 days later, I'm at Little League practice. And so basically you just, you know, meet up with your friends, you get down, you have your practice. We played maybe one or two games a year. But at this time, one of my buddy's younger sisters had been attacked by one of the dogs that ran free in the neighborhood. And she got bit pretty bad. I think the dog bit her on the face and her neck and her shoulder and everything else. She got pretty torn up. But her brother played baseball with me. And so we were both equally, and we lived pretty close. So when we walked home, we were equally paranoid about walking just home at that point in time.
Yeah, yeah.
And I know for a fact that the family was addressed about their dog, and from what I understand, the guy who owned the dog and owned the house did not care.
Back in that time, they
didn't care. That's generally how it goes.
So, they do not care.
So we were still on alert that the dog was not on a leash, or we knew the dog was still free roaming and had already attacked his sister. Blah, 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 blah. So my grandfather, he said, well, I'll give you a ride home or whatever the deal is. Well, this is like 2 or 3 days later after you pop my shoulders out. So I'm still kind of scared because I'm like, I don't even know if I can defend myself.
Yeah.
He walked down. And we were about a half mile away from where the practice was. And my grandfather walked me and my buddy back. And the dogs came out again. And my grandfather was a post office employee. He was a postman for his entire
life. So he already knows how to deal with this crap.
It was like Obi-Wan Kenobi. And we hadn't, I mean, I don't even think Star Wars, maybe it was out, I don't know. But I mean, he just had this way of stopping that dog about 50 feet away from us. And the dog just kind of put its tail between its legs and ran home. And it was the damnedest thing I've ever, and you know, later on, because my grandparents were retired. They'd spend, you know, weeks at a time with us and hang out and everything else. I come home one day, he's petting the dog.
The dog got attacked.
Yeah, on the front porch.
All right.
And from that point in time on, we never had a problem with that dog anymore. It was the damnedest thing, man. I just remember the sequence of events. Buddy's sister gets basically her face half ripped off. He takes out both of my shoulder blades. And next thing you know, he's sitting on the damn porch petting the dog that basically destroyed my buddy's sister's face.
I don't understand. Like, dogs have been taught for years. There's a dog named Fritz, big-ass Doberman. Normally he's on a chain, but always outside. Scared to live in but Jesus out of me, man. After 3 years in a row, winter, spring, summer, fall, this thing. And everything says, I want to kill you. And even though it's on that big-ass chain, you're just not comfortable because I'm a little kid. And I'm waiting for the bus one day, and I realize that Fritz is walking across the street. And the chain is dragging behind him. So somehow he'd broken the chain. And I'm like, oh, my God. Like, this is the end of my life. So I'm kind of petrified. I'm standing still. Fritz comes up to me, gets up on his hind legs, and, like, hugs me. I swear to God. And it hugged me until the bus got there. And the bus gets there. Fritz dropped back down to all fours. I get on the bus, goes back across the street. And Fritz did that probably for about the next 9 months before he died. And I don't know.
All right.
But it's not like I ever went up and greeted him. It's not like I ever gave him a treat. Just one day, the day he finally broke the chain and he could have killed me, which he seemed very clear in his intent for the 36 months we had interacted. For whatever reason, that day, he says, I'm just funding you, man.
Yeah, he just wanted to aggressively hug you.
It wasn't like an aggressive hug, but it became every morning where I'd walk outside and there's Fritz waiting for me now and would just give me this hug. I'm like, what in the hell happened? And why were you so essy for the first 3 years?
I mean, I think it goes the other way, too. I got a buddy that had a giant dog for a while, and this dog was super nice and everything, but I remember once the dog was sick, and I went over to, like, pet it, and it just was like, no.
Yeah, when dogs get sick or injured, they definitely change their opinion. I had to take the dog to the vet, because for 2 years that I had him, he never barked. And I'm like, I just don't know if there's something wrong with him. And the vet did whatever vets do and just said, man, there's nothing wrong with the dog. The dog doesn't care. And this dog, a big-ass Belgian Shepherd, didn't have to take it on a leash. Whatever you asked the dog to do is what the dog did. I remember I got the Sunday paper once. And I thought, hey, sit down outside of the store. I go in the store, I buy the paper. I forgot he's with me. And it's one of the stores that's just not street level. You had to go down like 4 or 5 stairs. So I'm kind of reading the paper. I walk by my dog, go up the stairs, turn the corner. Then I'm like, oh, crap. I go back. He's still sitting there waiting for me because I had said sit and did not at any point say, hey, come on. So I was like, come on, we go home. one day it was super hot. It was Baltimore hot. It's like 98 degrees. And it was left chasing sticks in the park. And I throw the stick. So just keep in mind, his testicles are hanging because it's hot. And I throw the stick. The stick bounces. And it goes over like this 3-foot wrought iron fence kind of thing. And he jumps over the fence and he grabs the stick. But keep in mind, he had a running start to go get the stick. But when he's coming back to the park, he's just going to try to do the leap over. And his testicle hits the fence. All right. But you hear it go like, pong. And the dog lands flat on its belly, all four legs out. I walk up to, because I'm kind of smiling like, oh, dude, are you okay? And I put my hand up like I'm going to scratch its head. It's the only time. And I was like, I understand, all right? Yeah. So it took him about 10 minutes to recover. It's just like a dude getting hit in the nuts, right? You are, until you're ready to go, you're in that fetal position. So he's just kind of, like I said, just flat on the grass. I know that it's like, I can't touch him because he's in a mood. And I can completely relate to this. We've all been there. Dog gets up, drops the stick, does not even look at me, and just walks straight home. He was just like, I'm done. I'm done. We got home. He climbed on the couch, which normally I didn't let him on. But again, I'm going to be kind of cool this time. And just curled up in a ball.
This is another weird physical thing. Like, you've been in that situation where you're having sex, and basically they turn into clackers.
Oh, yeah.
You know, if you're really in the right position, the right mood, and, you know, they can be manhandled and everything else, but just one slight graze.
The graze is worse.
And the next thing you know, man, you are curled up in a ball. I mean, I don't know how they know.
I don't know how they know, but
this is acceptable behavior worse right now. Or
the last time I took a shot directly to it, because it had been years, man. You get older, you tend to avoid that stuff. You're not doing the same stuff. My kid's 3 years old. We're wrestling around in the bed. He slips on his forehead. I mean, just smashes him dead on. So I'm like, okay, hang on, man. I put him to the side, and he's looking at me. And I'm laying in bed, and your hands instinctively go over your junk. Then my body starts kind of collapsing in on itself to the fetal position. And I don't know why this makes any difference, but I knew that I had to get out of bed and lay on the floor. I'm going to assume the exact same position, like I'm in fetal, and then I just slither onto the floor. And I'm just curled up. And my son, he's peeking off the bed like, are you okay? Did I do anything? I said, man, I'm fine. He's like, what happened? I said, I can't really explain it to you, but when it happens to you, you'll understand. It's about 3 years past. We're playing soccer. He takes one to the Jimmy. I mean, he just drops like a sack of potatoes. And I'm like, hey, man, do you remember all those years ago? And he vaguely did. I said, that. Yeah. Like, that thing you were asking me what happened. I'm like, what's happening to you now? It was that. So I'm just going to leave you alone until you're good.
What time was your first or most memorable injury? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Marcus. Welcome to the men's room.
Hey.
Hola.
Hey, man. I've listened to you guys for years. This is my first time calling.
Hey, appreciate it, man. Thank you, brother.
You want my first or most memorable?
Most memorable.
Okay. Here about, I don't know, 12 years ago, my brother's dogs were fighting. He's got one large Rottweiler and one large Pyrenees. Both these dogs are bigger than I am, but they're fighting. He's not there. His girlfriend is. So I jump into the melee, and I have one under each arm. The one bites me in the pinky finger of the left hand. You guys still there?
Yeah, man.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. okay, so, and being a man, I don't go to the hospital.
Of course not.
No. I wait about 4 months. Until I can't use my finger anymore.
But it doesn't bend? You can't feel it? What?
It does nothing. Like, it is a finger, but it does not move. It does not bend. You're correct. Okay. Same brother. His chest was broken. There's a little bit of lapse in time, so I decided I'll just go to the ER and have my finger checked out. I do this, and it turns out that I have infection in my bone marrow.
Oh.
Yeah, it was ugly. And they had, at the end of the day, they had to take a bunch of, they had to scrape the whole bone off that finger.
And then
put a PICC line into my vein on my elbow.
all the way to my heart, which I had to run antibiotics in for 6 months, every 4 hours. So I'd have to wake up 3 times a night. Yeah, that was kind of ugly.
Yeah, that sounds terrible.
Yeah, it's a bone marrow infection. You know, Mike, hey, I'm going to tell you what. Do me a favor.
Yeah.
We edit the guy's call, take out all the dead in between.
Yeah.
And I bet you it's a good story.
Oh, it was I very got attacked.
Most people say, man, I got attacked by my brother's dog. I waited 4 months. Turns out I have an infection in my bone marrow. That's significant.
The 101's a great drive.
Into but my heart, man. I got to wake up every 3 hours.
I'll save a pinky.
But if you just cut out all the breaks,
oh, yeah.
It's a good story. That takes a lot less time.
The drive and
look, that was like
the drive down the 101's a beautiful drive, but if you're sitting in traffic, it kind of loses its luster.
I feel like that's like Obama telling the same story. Dog with my pinky.
Oh boy.
And then 4 months later, I went to the doctor.
What was your first or most memorable injury? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Brandon. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
So this was my first injury. It was about last year in about March. And I had the great idea. I decided to go to a military school down in Texas. I was 19, and they had a program to be a pilot, and I really wanted to be a pilot back then. So I went down there. It was a 9-week program for boot camp. And I wasn't in the best shape and started to develop shin splints. And after a little bit, just kept on working and working, and it got worse and worse and worse. And then during a 6-hour hike that they took us on, I slipped on some gravel, and the muscles in my calf were so tight that it sheared my bone, about 2-inch shear on my tibia.
God.
And I could not walk, could barely hobble, and two of my drill instructors grabbed me and made me finish the hike for the next 3 hours. And after the hike, we camped out in the woods for a week. They wouldn't take me to the doctor. I was screaming in pain the whole time. Wouldn't take me to the doctor, so they gave me a couple of wooden crutches. And one of the crutches broke, so I was hobbling around on one crutch, getting yelled at in boot camp.
That sounds so sad.
I know.
You got sad music, Miles?
I sure do.
Oh, I got one crutch. This is like Charlie Brown goes to boot camp.
But it's a military school, so I'm guessing the rules are different. They can just treat them any way they want.
Yeah, it just started as shin splints. It was kind of ridiculous, but I'm assuming they just didn't know how bad it was. And then when they took me to the doctor after that week of camping, they finally came to their senses and sent me home. So,
what exactly is a shin splint? Are the bones cracking? I mean, what is it?
It's like a shock pain that you get, but it also, it feels like it involves your bones more than your muscles.
But I mean, like, what has happened to the bone where they can determine, like, it's one thing to be in pain, it's another thing to say, you have blank, and then they can explain
you feel a shock up to your
I mean, feet. It is so painful.
So it refers to a pain along the shin bone in the lower leg, usually caused by a repetitive stress from activities like running, often due to overuse or sudden increase in exercise intensity, resulting in inflammation of the muscles and tendons attached to the shin bone.
Okay. All right.
Yep.
You'll see a lot of times, like in the first couple weeks, especially in football, people will have
them. Oh,
because of like the camp over the summer and this and that. And just, you've been training, but you haven't been training like that.
Yeah, I got a story.
And not only that, when you're wearing cleats or hiking boots or a lot of those things, at least back in the day, not necessarily the best support like shoes and boots have now or cleats have now. So it's almost like your feet were in there without an insole.
Okay.
So when you take that pounding, it's the equivalent of like a plantar issue. Where coming up from your heel, but it still feels like that shooting pain up your legs. So every time you step, it's like pins and needles, but with pain. You're numb, but it's a shooting pain.
Yeah, you can kind of rehab it, but then sometimes you'll be halfway through practice or a run, and they'll hit, and you'll be like, oh, gotta stop.
Yep, they're still here.
Did they make you keep doing it? They give you broken crutches?
Well, you can't really, I mean, generally you can explain in sports, they'll kind of let you stop, but he was out of military school, so.
Yeah. Jeez. What was your first or most memorable injury? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Justin. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, gentlemen.
Hola.
So I was at my buddy's house, and I think it was like 8 or 10, and he had one of those like wooden climbing structures, and it was right next to his dad's shed, so he had the idea of let's jump off of the, like, I don't know, like 10-foot climbing structure onto the roof of the shed and just hang out on the roof of the shed. I was like, oh yeah, that sounds great. He's a little skinny guy. I'm a little fat ass. So he gets on, no freaking problem. I'm like, I got this. I slip a little on the way off and bang off the side of the roof and then push off to try to, like, land safely. And that ended up pushing my back up against the side of the wooden play structure and slicing my back open about, I don't know, like 10 inches.
Ah, I'm guessing that's a hospital visit.
Oh, yeah. The best part was that his dad wasn't even home. He was the babysitter. So, he ran back into the house. I'm crawling to the house, and she comes out and goes, oh, my God, what the hell's going on? I'm like, well, my back's cut open. I'm bleeding everywhere. I think I need my parents or something. And, yeah, they called my parents. They picked me up and, yeah, go to the hospital. And I think it was, like, 20 stitches and, like, a bunch of gauze and no summer activities involving water for, like, a couple months.
Not only that, but when you're a kid, it seems like all the babysitters are attractive.
Well, they kind of are.
You know, and you're... Yeah. Embarrass yourself in front of the girl that you'd like to meet her friends.
Well, if you still have a babysitter, the babysitter has something kids in your close class don't.
Yes.
That, you know what? That's a good thing. If you're young enough to have a babysitter.
That's what I remember. It's like all these babysitters have boobs.
Yeah.
You guys should go out to dinner more often.
Yeah, exactly.
We can watch what we want. Still to come, we've got the 10 greatest yacht rock tunes of all times on the way with Sit and Spin at 4:30. And your email's coming up next from the men's room at KISW.com.
Jeffrey Dahmer, Ted Bundy, the Night Stalker. These names are infamous, but do you really know what drove them to kill?
In Mind of a Serial Killer, we don't just tell you the story. We break down the psychology behind it.
Follow and listen to Mind of a Serial Killer, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.